Welcome, everybody. I believe I saw Pastor James coming in the back. Wave your hand back there, Pastor James. So thankful for you and your church joining us today. Please fill in, find a seat. We've already had an extended prayer time this morning for our nation and for the events that we've seen, and my message is directed around what we've seen on the news and how the church can be an example of unity and standing for justice in the midst of what we're seeing. I invited Pastor James to come and speak to us for a couple of minutes, and that will happen in a few more minutes in our service after I preach a little bit. And I'm so thankful that he could be here and share his experience. He is a pastor and a former police officer as well here in Virginia Beach. And I thought that his experience, both in life and with his previous work and his current work as a pastor, just put him in a position to have a phenomenal amount of wisdom for us with what we're facing right now. So I'm so thankful for him, for the entire Eternal Life Worship Center family to be able to be with us today. Today we're in Habakkuk. Chapter 1, like I said, we're taking a break from Proverbs, but it's not entirely disconnected, because the last message I preached from Proverbs, last week I was at camp with our youth, but the week before we were in Proverbs, and one of the points that we talked about was standing for the oppressed and standing against injustice. Now, we didn't talk about many of the same things we're going to talk about this morning, but I wanted to remind you of one of the verses in Proverbs 23 that we looked at just 2 weeks ago. This is Proverbs, and it's talking about standing for justice and how God is a defender of the weak, a defender of those who don't have it as many advocates in this ancient culture as they would have needed to live in justice. So Proverbs 23, do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach the fields of the fatherless. The foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow are the classic Old Testament trio of the picture of the oppressed in that ancient culture. They had no one to stand up for them. And it says, do not move the boundary stone. Do not steal their property, is what it's saying. For their defender is strong, and he will take up their case against you. In other words, they may not have a human defender, but they have a defender in God. God is on the side of the weak and the oppressed, is what the Bible teaches over and over again. And it's with that in mind that I want to speak to you today about what we've seen in our culture. It was Thursday or Friday, I believe Thursday. I was sitting in an office just waiting, and I pulled up on my phone and I saw that there was another video of a police-involved shooting. And I had a few minutes to wait, and there was nobody sitting close by. I knew it may be troubling, and I wasn't sure what was going to be on the video, but I went ahead and clicked on the video to watch it. And I saw the girlfriend of Philando Castile in tears, pleading for the life of her boyfriend who had been driving the car they were in. And I was angered, and I was speechless, and I was shocked, because just a day or two earlier, I had seen the video of Alton Sterling when he was shot. And I literally cannot put into words my emotions or the conflicting thoughts and ideas that were going on in my mind. But I know one thing that I wanted to say was, this needs to stop. We need to stop seeing these videos. And I don't mean because people need to stop taking videos with their phones or because people need to stop posting them on the internet. I mean the events themselves need to stop. And I don't have all the answers or all the laws that we need to pass. I don't have that this morning, and that's not what this morning is for. But it is for mourning those who have been lost. And then you know that Thursday night, 5 Dallas police officers were shot. by a gunman who seems to have been unrelated to the protests that were going on, from everything that I can tell. Five, this has been a hard week if you've let yourself pause to think about it, and I hope that you have. I hope that our time this morning hasn't been the first time you've reflected on these events. Habakkuk's words in chapter 1, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing?" And these words are words that we very well could have said ourselves this week. Why do you allow us? Why do you allow these things to happen? Why don't you stop these, God? I have a message, much shorter message than normal because of our time, which it's always dangerous to talk about sensitive issues in a compressed time frame. So I pray that you'll give me grace as I speak. I was eternal life. I didn't know that you would be here with us this early in the service. I'd planned for this message to be mainly for our people. So New Song, I'm speaking to you when I say I may say some things that you don't like this morning. And I hope that you will give me the grace to listen and to consider the challenges that I'm laying before you. I have 3 points that I want to lay out for you this morning. This is how I've structured my message. First is appreciated and accountable law enforcement. So that's a balance, both sides of that. The second point is bear one another's burdens. And the last point is a determined path toward unity. Here's where I want, if you are like me this morning, if you are white, if you have never had to think along these lines before, I want to challenge you this morning to imagine a situation. Imagine if you got a call one day, maybe even this week, that your loved one, maybe your husband, maybe your father, maybe your son, was shot and killed by police. All because the police mistook his harmless actions, things that he didn't mean anything bad by. They mistook those as threatening, and he was shot and killed. The mourning, the devastation, the hurt that would take place. Many of you may have never considered that. I remember back when the Trayvon Martin situation was taking place. This is years ago. One of the things that people did, there were different forums where people could speak and we could just listen to one another. And I remember a black mother talking about a talk she had to have with her son about how to relate to police if he's ever pulled over or confronted, because she was scared that he would not come home from that, or that he would be arrested or get himself into more trouble. And one thing that I realized is that that is something that is alien to my experience. My mom and dad never had to have a talk with me because they were scared that I was not going to come home from an altercation with police. It dawned on me that I need to listen more when I heard that mom talk about the conversation she had to have with her son. I asked you to imagine a situation where your loved one was killed. And I want to ask you, even if the law, even if the courts say that it was a legally justified shooting, that officer really felt for his life, even though your loved one didn't mean anything by it, even though it was a harmless action, he literally felt for his life, and that was a justified shooting by the police. Even if maybe at a mental level you understood the way the law worked, and you would be angry, you would be devastated, you would sense that something is deeply wrong with this situation. Your soul, your heart would cry out, "How can this happen?" And then you hear on the news that this has happened to 3, 4, 5 other families. And now it's not only the injustice that you have suffered by having your loved one taken away from you unjustly. Now you see that this is, you're not an isolated incident. This has happened before and it's continuing to happen. And you would say, I may not know what it is, but we have to do something to change this. I don't have the answers this morning. Maybe answers are something that we can come up with as we talk and as we listen to one another. But here are the three things that I want to tell you this morning. We need appreciated law enforcement and we need accountable law enforcement. I believe that many police all across our country feel like they are not appreciated, like they are hated. I think there are also police across our country, not the majority, but some who feel like they are above the law and they can do all just about whatever they want without being called to account. Here's what I want to say today, and I want to say both sides of this. When we see situations like we've seen on the news this week, we cannot assume that the police are always right. And we cannot assume that the police are always wrong. We don't know the details in a lot of situations. A lot of times all we know is maybe a short piece of video. We don't know what happened before. We don't know so much. We can't rush to judgment. But many people, like us at New Song, I think a lot of our church are politically conservative. A lot of us have a tendency to see a situation and say, well, whoever got shot must have done something wrong. We automatically assume that the police were doing the right thing. And we can't do that. Because here's what we know about law enforcement. Here are three true statements about law enforcement. Here's what we know. That police officers serve at great personal danger, and most serve well at a difficult job. They are called on to make split-second decisions that have huge consequences. It is a difficult job, and most of them serve well. Here's what we also know, is that there are some bad officers. And here's the third thing that we know, is that there are some good officers who make mistakes. And when you put all three of those things together, the result is that there will be times when people are treated unfairly and unjustly by police, and police should be held accountable for those events. Police need to feel our support while we demand high standards from them. Police need to hear us say about the videos that we've seen this week that we do not believe this is acceptable. But they also need to know that as they do a good job, that we support them and we want to have their backs. We need appreciated and accountable law enforcement. And I believe Pastor James may speak to that in just a couple minutes as well. Here's the second one. We need to bear one another's burdens, bear each other's burdens. When you see that someone is carrying a heavy load, you offer to help them with that. That's the picture that's going on in Galatians chapter 6. And here's what I want to say to our church family, particularly New Song today, is that there are people in our culture who are carrying and feel a heavy burden that you may not realize and you may know nothing about. And our job, as we love one another, as Philippians calls us to count others as better than ourselves, that we consider other people's perspectives even as more important than our own, is that sometimes we turn off the talk radio dial. And sometimes the people on TV who are on output mode only, they become our models for how we operate. And you need to plug your ears sometimes from them so that you don't follow that model. Because sometimes we need to stop talking and we need to listen and learn. The recent events that we've seen with Casile and Sterling have not happened in isolation. And I think a lot of times white people tend to assume that each situation is individual and must be judged on its own merits and all of these kinds of things. But we fail to realize that there is an incredible history, both short-term and long-term. Short-term, we have seen over the past several years where again and again, young black men have been killed. We don't take these things in isolation. Long-term, the police and courts in this country have been long involved in denying basic rights to black people. I read firsthand accounts Thursday night or Friday night. I was reading of the Freedom Riders back in the 1960s and how law enforcement stood by while they were beaten in cities in South Carolina and Alabama. Law enforcement did nothing. Our culture did nothing while those wrong injustices were being carried out. And we cannot isolate events that happen today from that long history. Let me give you an example if you're coming from kind of a conservative political perspective. Many conservatives believe that the news media is biased in a liberal direction. And you take one particular news article and you say, see how they use this word? See, that's their liberal bias coming through. And somebody else could look at that article and say, well, no big deal. That's just one word. What are you seeing there? But what's happened is you have identified what you believe is a pattern in that media coverage. And even just a word or an innuendo here or there, that confirms in your mind what you have seen as the pattern that's long been taking place. Now apply that to what we're talking about here today. When people believe they see a pattern of injustice, of systemic racism in our country, and you say, well, this individual circumstance, it doesn't seem to be there, or this one, maybe it is or maybe it's not, I don't know. But when you see it as a larger pattern, things become much, much more clear. And we need to listen to that. If you don't believe there is systemic racism, I want to say you need to listen to the experiences of people who say they believe there is. And a lot of times we have not been willing to listen. Here's the next thing that I want to say. And some of you may be angered by this. I hope not. I want to say that black lives do matter. Period. Black lives matter. And I don't need to follow that up with anything else. Because it's been customary in our culture to say, well, black lives matter, but all lives matter. Which, that's certainly a true statement. Who disagrees with that? But here's what happens is that when we make a statement of specific concern and someone responds to that with a general truism, that has the effect of diminishing the original concern. Let me give you an example of just a stupid, silly analogy that I can give you to help make my point. Sometimes I don't wash my car very much. It gets dirty. So let's say I went up to one of you and said, I really need to wash my car. And you said, all cars need to be washed. And I would say, well, yeah, all cars do need to be washed. But I'm talking about my personal concern that my car is really dirty. You see, by responding that all cars need to be washed, you are diminishing the fact that I thought it was important enough to bring up to you that my car needs to be washed. So when you respond to a specific concern with a generally true statement, but relatively unimportant to what's at hand, you end up diminishing the concern, the original concern that is taking place. And that's why I'm telling you this morning that I want to say that black lives matter, and I don't need to follow that up with all lives matter. Because there is a specific concern in our country with the fact that again and again we have seen young black men killed by police. And there are many people who feel like their lives are devalued or unvalued by police or many other people in our society. So the church should be the first ones to stand up and say, if you feel devalued today, if you feel like your life is unvalued, we stand with you and say your life does matter. Now, I know there's a political group that goes by the name Black Lives Matter. I'm not commenting about that one way or the other. I'm not saying anything about things that have been done in the name of a hashtag or anything like that. But I do want to say clearly this morning that Black Lives Matter. And if you are not black this morning, you ought to stand with everyone who feels like their life is devalued or less important in any way. We need a determination to see things change. And I want to say that much of the anger that we see is justified, but never violence. In fact, I have a quote today from Martin Luther King. I want to, some of you may have seen this floating around on social media. That's where I saw it. Lecrae posted it on Twitter. He says, "Violence never brings permanent peace. It solves no social problem. It merely creates a new and more complicated ones. Violence is impractical because it is a descending spiral ending in destruction for all. It is immoral because it seeks to humiliate the opponent rather than win his understanding. It seeks to annihilate rather than convert. Violence is immoral because it thrives on hatred rather than love. It destroys community and makes brotherhood impossible. It leaves society in monologue rather than dialogue. Violence ends up defeating itself. It creates bitterness in the survivors and brutality in the destroyers." And that's absolutely true. Violence is not the answer. But listen, that's not my major concern today, that many of you, most of you, any of you today are going to turn to violence. Because here's another quote from Martin Luther King that I think may be more important for us to hear this morning. "He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it." And so what I want us to call us today is to a determined path toward unity. We need to work and to think together about how can we see unity and love and cooperation come out of everything that we're seeing today. First of all, I want to say we long for the day when all people will be treated justly and fairly. We want to see that. That's the cry of Habakkuk. I'm sorry. "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? How long will you make me look at injustice?" We long for the day that all people will be treated justly and fairly. Here's the second thing I want to say. This was by a pastor named Derwin Gray, who spoke at the Southern Baptist Convention just a couple weeks ago. I saw him preach. He did a fantastic job. He's a pastor of a multi-ethnic church in South Carolina. Derwin Gray is his name. He said, "Our goal is not to be colorblind, but colorblessed. Our goal is not to be colorblind, but colorblessed." Because as white people, I think a lot of times we have heard the call and said, no, we just don't want it. We want to not see people's colors. We don't want to see their race. We just want to treat everybody equally without regard to skin color. But here's the problem with that is that the book of Revelation doesn't picture a colorblind heaven. The book of Revelation said, "I saw before the throne a great multitude of people from every tribe and nation and language and tongue." How did he see that? How do you look and see where people are from? Because the skin are so many different shades. That's how he knew. Heaven is a color-blessed place where people of all different backgrounds have come together to worship our one King and glorious Savior, Jesus. So So our goal is not to be colorblind, but color blessed. And if we're going to be color blessed, if we are going to glory and rejoice in the multi-ethnic, multi-racial nature of Jesus' church, that means we bear one another's burdens, that we listen to each other, that we count others as better than ourselves and their perspectives as more important than our own. So here's what I want to challenge you to do today, particularly New Song, but everybody gathered here. Number one is commit to listen. Maybe some of you have listened very, very little in the past. And I want you to commit. I'm going to be willing to listen more than I have. I want to hear what people who are coming from a different perspective have to say. Second, after you listen, I want you to consider. I want you to go back home and think about it long and hard. I want you to consider where they are coming from and what they've been through. I want you to consider. Here's the third one. I want you to identify. Identify with somebody. That's the idea of carrying someone's burdens. That's the idea of, I see what you're going through, and I'm not just going to feel bad about it, but I'm going to walk beside you and work with you to see if there's anything we can do to alleviate that injustice. We are going to consider, we're going to listen, consider, identify with those suffering, and we are going to speak. I want you to commit to speak. Don't be silent. When the battle's raging on your Facebook feed and one person saying one thing and one person saying another, be a voice of peace and reason and listening. Be a voice of love, of unity, not of division. Be willing to speak up for those who feel like they have no voice. Identify with them and speak with them as well. I don't want to have another Sunday like this. I hope we can have some more Sundays like this where all our churches get together. This is fantastic. But I don't want to have another Sunday where we're coming together mourning the violence that we've seen in our country. The church is uniquely positioned because of the unity that we have in Christ that has been purchased for us at Calvary to come together across all barriers, all human distinctions, all human lines, and say, we love Jesus and we love each other. And nothing's going to come between us, and we're going to work together. Father, I thank you for the time that we've had this morning already. I thank you for Eternal Life Worship Center. I thank you for Emmanuel Ethiopian Church joining with us as New Song Fellowship today. God, you are good. And you need to bind up our wounds today because we are hurting, we're confused. God, be with Pastor James as he comes to speak now. God, give him wisdom, give him the words that we need to hear. Prepare our hearts to listen and to consider and to identify and to speak as well. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor James, I want to invite you to come up and speak to us. And let me find the microphone for you. Is the mic over here? There we go. There we go.
This microphone. I promise I won't be long. Pastor Brent, thank you for the invitation. It's an honor to stand here and worship with you. Amen. Pastor Brent, you echoed a lot of what we talked about over at Eternal Life this morning. Yes, my heart is saddened as well. And I was telling our people that we wouldn't think that we would have to come to the house of God and talk about things of this nature. You know, we will come to the house of God to worship. We will come to the house of God to hear good news. But now, as the body of Christ, We have to come to the house of God to be encouraged to take a stand for what is right. I woke up this morning and I shared it with Eternal Life, and I had the quote in my spirit that 47 years ago, our forefathers brought to this continent a new nation, which was established in liberty, and it was predicated on the fact that all men were created equal. But when we look at our system today, we see a lot of injustice. The system has been that way for many years. I talked about the fact that growing up, my father never had to talk with me about how I should act or present myself if I'm confronted by the police. During those times, I can remember saying, hey, I want to be a police officer. Because the officers that were in our community represented themselves in such a professional way that it translated to me wanting to serve. So on that note, I just want to talk a little bit about the law enforcement. I served 13 years. I've encountered black people. I've encountered white people. I've encountered all types of individuals, but one thing that I always carried with me, and that was everybody deserves respect. And when you approach an individual with respect, automatically there's a de-escalation. Also, in understanding that, I was always able, by the grace of God, to carry myself in such a way to where I didn't appear to be a threat. And I knew that even though I carried a badge and a gun, that I was really no better than that individual that I was stopping for breaking the law. But I just want to share a little bit about the law enforcement oath of honor. And I think a lot of police officers forget that they take an oath before they put that badge on, before they put that weapon on. They take an oath, and this is how it goes. It says, on my honor, I will never betray my badge, my integrity, my character, or the public trust. I will always have the courage to hold myself and others accountable for our actions, not their actions, our actions. I will always uphold the Constitution, my community, and the agency that I serve. I believe that every officer making that statement should understand exactly what it entails. They're not just saying words, but the words that they're saying mean something. And here's what it means: honor. Honor means that one's word is given as a guarantee. So when you say, on my honor, you're saying, I guarantee that I will stand behind the oath that I've taken publicly. Not something done in a corner, but I took this oath publicly to let the people know that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to peacefully enforce the laws that I'm responsible for. Betray. It's defined as breaking faith with the public trust. You find now that a lot of police officers, whether they deserve it or not, have broken faith with the public's trust. All police officers are not bad. But I know for a fact that there are some that abuse their authority simply because they can. I remember in the academy and hearing things like, we have a good old boy system and we stick together and all this type of stuff. You know, and I'm there, and I'm thinking, well, is this really what I want to do? But because they had a good old boy system didn't mean that I had to partake in that system. Badge, symbol of your authority, symbol of your office. You don't betray your authority just because you can. You don't betray the agency that you work for or the people that you work for just because you can. Character means the qualities that distinguish an individual. Public trust is a charge of duty imposed in faith toward those that you serve. We are public service. I say we. I don't wear that uniform any longer. I wear a different uniform. But I still stand by the same principles. Hallelujah. I still stand for righteousness. See, and the constable on patrol, the cop, his job was to protect and serve, to protect those who couldn't protect themselves, to serve in the community in which they worked, not to take advantage of it, not to make a name for themselves, not to abuse their authority, but to gain the trust of the people that they serve. Courage is having the strength to withstand unethical pressure, fear, or danger. And here's the big one. Accountability means that you are answerable and responsible to your oath of office. So if you're in a position of authority as an officer, you're held accountable to the people that you serve. You're held accountable to your fellow officers. You're held accountable to your agency. So that means that in your accountability, that you don't stick up for another officer if they're doing something wrong. Huh? You have to be accountable. And if we had more of that accountability and more of a serving to protect the civil rights of individuals, I believe we would see less violence. But I also want to add this one thing. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We can't forget that even though all of this is going on, there's a righteous standard that's in the earth today. And that righteous standard is us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean that we sit by and watch it go by. But it also means that we don't have to resort to violence to make a statement. You know, we have to recognize that the root cause of this is the principalities and the powers, the spiritual wickedness. These are being perpetrated by ungodly people who are really in control of our judicial system. And when you have ungodly people in control of your judicial system, you will have unrighteous actions. And where there is no righteousness, sin is rampant. The moral values, everything, just gone downhill. But in closing, you and I, as the righteousness of God, you know, and making a stand, don't forget that you have power to pray for divine intervention. Amen. I don't want to take any more of your time. I just thank you for the opportunity again, and God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor James. I want to say, as New Song Fellowship, it has been our honor to have Eternal Life Worship Center and Emmanuel Ethiopian Church as our guests this morning for the ending part of our service. I'm going to ask Shane and our worship band to come forward. We're going to sing one song as our closing song today. We're going to sing Mighty to Save. And we'll ask you to go ahead and stand with us. Let's worship Jesus together. That's the most important thing we can do.
Compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
All right, sing it out, church. Savior.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Take me as you find me.
So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Shine your light.
Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.